number 22. Starting a new story. Anybody need a worksheet that did not get a worksheet? Just slip your hand up, and I'll come around and make sure you have one. All right. Looking good. John chapter 3, verse 22. We're going to walk through the passage, and then I'm going to give you some some points. I kind of wish, I don't know, you know how it is. You pray about what it is you're supposed to preach, and sometimes it comes fast, and sometimes it doesn't come fast, and sometimes, you know, it's what you're thinking about, sometimes not what you're thinking about. You know, I thought, well, here it is. It's between Christmas and New Year's. It'll all be Christmassy or New Year's-y, but really isn't, and this one just kind of fell right in place, and I thought, well, I kind of wish there was because I didn't know what kind of crowd we have tonight. It's not bad, pretty good, but I know a lot of folks are out and about, because this is one of those I think a lot of folks need to hear who work in the ministry on a regular basis. But I think the Lord, He's always good. He always gives us what we need. And even if it's set for another direction, if we listen, the Holy Spirit will tell us some things we need to know. So anyway, John chapter 3, verse number 22. It says, After these things came Jesus and His disciples into the land of Judea. And there He tarried with them and baptized. Now, just so you say, well, Jesus baptized? Well, if you go to chapter 4, verse number 2, it says, though Jesus Himself baptized not, but His disciples. So the group was, you know, they were baptized. They were bringing folks to repentance, preparing them to receive the salvation that was to come. When John the Baptist came, he came preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. When Jesus came, it says that He came preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The message did not change. Now, Jesus was going to be the answer to the need. John the Baptist gave us the need. Okay? And so, and that actually is a good point to think about as we go through this tonight. I think sometimes if we're not careful, we can be as like horses with blinders on. We see what we see, and if you're not within our normal realm of focus, then you must be wrong, or you're in the wrong place, or something, you know, and we got to be careful about that. So anyway, so Jesus is baptizing. Look at verse 23. And John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. You know what we got now? We got two churches in competition in the same town. That's kind of what's going on here. They're not really in competition, but it's amazing how people will think that they are. Verse 24, for John was not yet cast into prison. In other words, he was in the full swing of his ministry yet. Nothing has changed. John, he had a calling, he had a job to do, and his job was to prepare the way of the Lord. He prepared the way of the Lord by preaching repentance. He had a baptism of repentance. They were saying, I am going to immerse myself in the idea that I am totally a sinner and totally in need of a Savior. So they were immersed in that, so to speak, that baptism. And so that's what he was doing. Verse 25. So there's an overlap in the ministries here. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. Now, I'll tell you what, some folks accused John's disciples of following an outdated and less effective leader, John the Baptist, because now here's Jesus. Well, I mean, Jesus wasn't long till we've already seen it where he was healing people and other things already. And John the Baptist still doing the same old thing he was doing all along. But that's what he was called to do. So there's an overlap there, and it's almost as if it says that it was between the Jews and John's disciples. You know what I think they were doing? I think they were trying to stir up trouble. I think the Jews were saying, well, John, what about that guy? Well, so they go to John's disciples, they go to the church members, and said, I thought your preacher was the one who knew what he was doing, but they got somebody else over here. And they were stirring things up, making some contention in there. And it's amazing how often that people will come into competition in the context of ministry. Now watch this. When I came up here, I'll tell you what, let me pray. I didn't really pray yet, did I? Let me pray, because I'll forget. And then we'll get into this. Father, thank you so much for this word. And Lord, thank you for this lesson. And I need you here tonight. We need your Holy Spirit. I need to do this right. So Lord, I pray that you guide us and lead us. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. When I came up here, and some of you folks were part of that church, I had people tell me, well, why in the world are you going to the York area? Because that's where Kevin Trout and Bible Baptist is. And I said, well, because I think God's calling me up there. But why would you go up there? He's kind of got a corner of things. He's got big bus ministry and so forth and so on. And he said, well, how close is he? Well, 1 month before I came up here, they moved from the lower end, the southeast corner of the city, up here to the northeast corner. And then it would have been totally different because they grabbed the lower part, we grabbed the upper part, no different. But now we're all in the same area. And people say, well, how close is he? I said, I don't want to know. I'm scared. I'm afraid I'll get scared and won't go up. But I feel like, I really felt like with all my heart, I still do, that God called me up here. And one of the reasons was what I said way back then. I said, there's 400 and some, at that point, 420,000. There's 440,000 people now in York County. I said, every church has a personality. You know, you could have 20 churches, good churches, running 1,000 piece, and that's only 20,000 people. There's 400,000 more people to get. You see what I'm saying? So, I mean, there's plenty of people to get around. There's some people they'll be able to get that I can't. And there may be some people that will be able to reach that they can't. That's just all part of the ministry. And so it's amazing how we can get into competition. Now, I think the Jews, of course, they didn't like what was going on anyway. I think they were stirring things up. And they were trying to cause a little bit of division, divide and conquer. Verse 26. And they came unto John's disciples, and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. Well, how dare he? Jesus is out taking all your converts. How are you going to build a church if he's out there taking them all? And he's running a competing ministry and stealing our followers. What an ingrate. You were the one that got him started. Remember, you were the one that baptized him. And now he's out here taking over. He wouldn't have a ministry if it wasn't for you, John. And now he's taking all your customers. You should have the monopoly in the ministry here. That was because you're the one that came, right? It's funny how we have half the information. Before long, we're doing, the old flesh can get in there and do some crazy things. Verse 27. John, though, had a head on his shoulders. John answered and he said, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. He said, you know what? The ministry that I have was given to me by God. If Jesus has a ministry, he got it from God as well. And who am I to second guess God and tell him to stop and not rejoice at what the Lord is doing? Verse 28, ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He said, I told you a long time ago that I'm not the Christ. I am not ultimately the one we're looking for. I told you that. See, we can become very short-sighted. Verse 29, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He says, you know what? I'm the best man, but I'm not the groom. He says, listen, I'm supposed to be the groom's best friend, not his competition. If he's getting what he's supposed to get, I should be rejoicing for him and not be jealous. Verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. In other words, this is all part of God's grand schedule. It says that I've been allowed to play a significant role during my allotted time. He that cometh from above is above all, and he that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth, and he that cometh from heaven is above all. In other words, Jesus is going to baptize with the Holy Ghost. I told you that too, he said. What he has to offer is even greater than what I have to offer, and we should be grateful for it. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. And no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. In other words, we need to stop complaining and start listening to what he's saying and take it to heart and rejoice when those other people take it to heart. There's people out there who are hearing this message and they won't receive it. That's wrong. And that's what I've been doing all along, is preparing them to receive the message. So actually, I'm saddened when they don't stop following me and start following him. I've been preaching all along, and if I thwart his ministry, I am actually hindering the purpose that I was given to accomplish while I'm here. He was there to bring folks to Christ, not bring them away. And so if they find Christ, God be glorified. But they didn't find it from me. So I've told you this many, many times. When we first started going to an independent Baptist church, I left a little church that was dead, but I was a big fish in a little pond there. I was important. And I said, I'm going to go over here and no one's going to know I'm even there. Now, God had called me, and that's fine. But I was kind of like, sorry for the comparison. Remember, Moses, God put it in Moses' heart to save his people, but he did it in the flesh. Then God broke him down for 40 years on the backside of the desert till he could use him. And when Moses finally said, you know what, I don't have anything to offer, God says, now I can use you. And that's what he had to do with me. Not that I wasn't any great prize to start with, but you know how it is we think we are. Now, verse 34. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. In other words, this Jesus has much more to offer than I do. His ministry is unlimited, but mine's kind of limited, and I know that. It says, the Father loveth the Son, hath given all things into his hand. And watch, and he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. He's the one that has the answer you're looking for. I'm only here to point the one out that has the answer. You got to have him. You can have me, but all you have with me, all you have is repentance. But if you have him, he that hath the Son hath life. So as much as I'm sure, he's like any other man. He likes having a following. He likes to say, feel like he's doing something for somebody and making a difference in somebody's life. But the fact is, if that means that I'm all done and Jesus has to take up, he must increase and I must decrease if that's what it takes to make the ministry move as it should. Now, this is a lesson on living by the grace and the truth within the context of ministry. Jesus came and we saw the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It was the fullness of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. And so it's amazing how we can have a bunch of saved people who say we have the same plan, and it's grace and truth sometimes gets thrown out because personalities and preferences and position get in the way. We can become so possessive of the ministry. It can have such a stronghold. Our pride can have such a stronghold on our ministry. And so we can become so possessive of ministry that God has to give, that he's given us, that we can actually hinder the progress of the ministry. And it's amazing how we can make serving God all about us. Number one, there is a person. There is a person. The one we are to glorify is Jesus. We need to remember, watch, that we are not that person. The answer to everybody's hope is not us. The answer to everybody's need, the hope that they're looking for, is not us, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's all I need to say. The problem is, don't lose thought of sight of that thought. What they need is Jesus. They need Jesus. He's the answer to all of it. Number two, there's a person. Number two, there's a purpose. There's a purpose. Letter A, there is a purpose for us in the ministry. And when I say us, I mean every single one of us. Old, young, new Christian, old Christian. One that's quiet, one that's bubbly. One that's well-educated, one maybe who doesn't have a whole lot of education. There is a purpose for every single one of us. Letter B, the purpose of the ministry is to lift up Jesus. If you're lifting up Jesus, you're filling part of God's purpose. If people see Christ in you, you're seeing part of God's purpose. Number two, our purpose is to draw the attention of the world to the Savior. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto him. That's our purpose in life. Well, this is my vocation. Fine. But within the context of your vocation, your job as a Christian, which is all that really matters, when it's all said and done, our job just pays the bills. Your real purpose is to lift up Jesus, to draw folks' attention to Christ. Now, does our being, our person, draw them to Christ, or do they repel them from Christ? Our job is to let our light shine through us so that men may see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. And by the way, we should also be ready to give the reason for the hope that's within us. Not only live it, but talk it. But not only just talk it, live it. Letter C. The purpose of ministry, watch, is not to lift us up. You say, well, obviously. I know, obviously. But you, listen, you know as well as I do, there's some people who serve in a ministry, and their whole job is to somehow, they want everybody, they just want to, you know, have you ever seen in the spring? I remember when we first came here, it was the yard hadn't been able to take care of the yard for a while. And when the dandelions came out, it looked like a forsythia bush. You know, one of those yellow bushes that come out first thing in the spring? That's what the whole front yard looked like. It just looked like a forsythia bush. And dandelions, have you ever noticed that dandelions, that little yellow blossom, it'll just keep rising the stem longer and longer and longer, so it's right above the weeds. It wants to shine right there above everything else all around it. And you know what? Sometimes there's other weeds that just want to rise above, just make sure everybody knows, here I am. Now, they're not really going to do anything, but I just want to make sure everybody knows, here I am. And we've got to be careful that we're not trying to, we don't think that the purpose is to lift ourselves up. The purpose is for that everybody see Jesus. I know that sounds redundant, but we've got to think that the purpose of the ministry is not to give us a place to shine. The purpose of the ministry is not to draw attention to ourselves. It is to lift up Jesus. Now don't lose that. That's our purpose. So we have a person, it is Jesus, and our purpose is to lift him up so that folks see who Christ is. They need to see a Savior. Number three, there is a plan. There is a plan. God had planned for John the Baptist to come. God had planned it from the beginning of time. God announced his coming hundreds of years earlier in the end of Malachi and in Isaiah. And God re-announced his coming, the coming of John the Baptist, through John's dad, Zechariah the priest. And Jesus said there was none born of woman who was greater than John. God had a plan for John. God had a plan for John. But here's the thing, watch. God has a plan for you. Philippians 1:6 is being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now that's, I know there's personal growth and all those kind of things, but the fact is, he's growing you up, edifying you for the work of the service of the Lord. That's what, he's got a plan for you. Now watch, listen. I don't know all the plan. You don't know all the plan. That doesn't mean God doesn't have a plan. God has a plan. In fact, if he told you the whole plan, it'd scare you to death. If you knew what you were going to have to go through, you would say, oh, my soul, but listen, don't try to live tomorrow on today's grace. When the time comes, he will give you the grace that you need so that you will live that day by faith, just as you're living this day by faith. But the fact is, if you say, well, I don't think I can do that. What am I going to, I'm going to have to, you know, it's like that guy used to say, you know, I wish I knew where I was going to die. I'd never go there. You see, that's a mentality. So, well, I would know that I would just avoid that. Well, then if I avoided it, I wouldn't be in God's plan. Some of it has to take us by surprise because otherwise we'd run the other way. I glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. But the fact is, if you're trying to be ready for the not ashamed part and you haven't been through the experience, it's not going to work. But what happens is if you knew what was going to happen, you wouldn't go through the experience. You lose the hope. I'm going to comfort others with the comfort I've been comforted with. You know what we would do if we knew what was going to happen? We said, I don't want to go there where I'm going to need comforting. I just won't go there. But then I'm not prepared to do what I need to do to walk somebody else through that tribulation time that works their experience, their patience, that works their experience, that brings them hope. The goal is for us to lift up Jesus and learn to live by faith. God has a plan. We don't know what the plan is, but God has a plan. Number four, there is a progression. There's a person. The purpose of our life is to lift up that person, Jesus Christ. God has a plan through which he's going to use us to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Now that within the context of that plan, there is a progression. It's not the same thing all the time. What they were called to do during the Great Awakening is not what we're called to do. I mean, ultimately, yes, but not necessarily in the way they did it. God knows what's going to happen. He has a plan, and there's a progression within that plan. Letter A, God has an order in which things are supposed to happen. And we are part of that order. Now, we read in Malachi, we were studying it. We've been studying there on Sunday morning. But the end of Malachi, he says, okay, I've told you guys what's going on, and I'm upset about some things. Now, everything's going to get real quiet here about 400 years, but the next thing you're going to know is this fellow's going to come in the spirit of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children to the hearts to the fathers. And he said, you're going to know what's going on, and he's going to draw men under Christ to this new king that's going to come. The Son of Righteousness is going to rise. And sure enough, 400 years later, on schedule, in the fullness of time, Christ came, the Bible says, and so on schedule. In fact, of course, we read it in Daniel, I think it's Daniel 9, where he says there's 70 years, you know, we've got 60, we've got the 80 and 2 years plus the 7, and all, you know, he talks about this, he says it's going to happen, and the Messiah is going to be cut off, but not for himself. It's all in the plan. Now, when you're down here living it, you can't see the plan. You can't see what's all going on. But God knows the plan, and there's a plan. And you are part of the plan. And so within the context of that plan, there's an order in which things are supposed to happen, and we are part of that order. There are times, I don't know whether you got this letter B or not, there are times, when our gifts, our spiritual gifts, our talents, our abilities, are going to be more prominent and more necessary than others. There are going to be times when our gifts and talents will not be as necessary and prominent as others. John 3:30, John says, he must increase, but I must decrease. That doesn't mean John hasn't been doing his job. It means he has a time in history. Do you realize, I believe this, God, We are and were created for His glory. Okay? Now, what that means is, and by the way, we are not clones. Our souls are not just another clone. We're not reincarnated from somebody else who lived back in 1625. We are an individual soul. And God created you right now. You and you alone. There's nobody else that's supposed to be doing your part. Now, God calls us to do different things. And that's all fine and dandy. And don't feel, and you may be right in the middle of God's will doing something that doesn't seem really all that important. You may think, but you don't know whose life you're affecting. What about that little guy who was the Sunday school teacher for D.L. Moody? Decides going to one day he's going to show up at the shoe shop and lead D.L. Moody to the Lord. Now because D.L. Moody repeated his name a few times, which I can't remember now what it was, that we know his name, but otherwise we wouldn't know. But I'm sure glad that Sunday school teacher did his job. I'm glad he was in his place. I'm glad he was doing, and not say, well, my little job doesn't count. This is why, I mean, there's other reasons too, but this is one of the reasons why I like having a choir and orchestra. I like having as many folks on the platform as I can. Why? Because every soul is a spirit bearing witness with another spirit. Every person up there is another saying, I'm on the side. A bunch of mannequins is not going to do it. It's not being impressed with a lot of bodies. There's something different about a living soul. A person is something about the fact that that person chose and their will was put in place to support what's going on here. And so every one of us is a testimony and a witness for Christ. Every person is there. I told you this story years ago. We had down in Maryland. We had this gal, and she was a sweetheart. She sang in the choir, and she ended up having an operation, and she was out for like 6 or 8 weeks or whatever it was. And somebody came up to me one day and says, "Where's so and so? I just love to hear her sing. I've been missing her the last few weeks." I said, "Well, she had an operation, and she's not be able to sing in the choir for a few more weeks, but she'll be back." "Oh, that's good, because I just love to hear her sing." "No, she didn't. It's a good thing the rest of the choir was singing, because you didn't want to hear her sing. I'm going to be mean, but you didn't want to hear her sing." Now, when she was up there, her whole heart was in everything she was singing. But you didn't want to hear her sing. But her spirit bore witness of what Christ has done in her heart. Everybody else was singing loud enough to cover up what she was doing that way. But the fact is, there were a lot of people who were singing like this. But she made up for that part too on the other side. I'm serious. There's a progression. I don't know, is it letter C? Our job is to help others reach their full potential for Christ's sake. Lift up Jesus and help others reach their full potential. Now, the potential may take them further than we have gone. We are to lift folks and let them serve the Lord. If that's what happened, we lift other folks. You say, "Well, you know, I wouldn't mind being the dandelion up top there, getting a little bit of pat on the back. Why am I going to push them up? If my job was to push them up, then I get part of the credit, so to speak, if you want to say it that way. But the fact is, if our heart's right, we don't care if we get the credit. Because if it's all said and done, we're going to take our crowns and cast them at the Lord's feet anyway. Because if it wasn't for Him, none of this would be working. Why am I trying to take credit for something? And why am I trying to get the credit? There's a progression. Watch. For instance, my skills, I'm going to kind of persevere. My skills have been right for this stage of this ministry, but if the Lord tarries His coming, someone else will one day fill this position. That person will probably have a different skill set than I do. That person will be stepping into a ministry at a different stage than I did. It will not be the same. That doesn't make it wrong. By the way, I'm not planning on going anywhere as far as I know. But it will not be the same. that doesn't mean it will, that will not, that's not going to make it wrong. To try and make someone fill the new position the same way as I have filled the old position would be wrong. Now, doctrine, the book, don't change the book, don't change the doctrine. There's some things that do not change, they're absolutes. But we're not all the same. And God calls us here for a certain time. There may be many similarities, but there is a progression that we need to allow God to work in His plan. And John says, I was here for a reason at a certain time, but my reasoning is, my time is changing. And I'm kind of fading out, and Jesus needs to come in. Number five, there is a place. A place. There's a person, his name is Jesus, and our purpose is to lift him up. And God has a plan in how he's going to use us to lift him up. Within that plan, there's a progression of what he's doing. And within that progression, in that continuum, if you will, there's a spot where we sit. There's a spot where we sit. This place is for us to serve. Wherever that may be, it's different for everybody. We need to play our role, if you will. We need to fill our spot. We need to play the position we have been assigned on the team to play. Now, when you're assistant pastor, the joke always is that when you're hired by the pastor, there's fine print at the bottom of the page that says whatever else the pastor deems necessary. And so most assistant pastors usually end up doing a lot of different things. They're this for a while, and that for a while, and this for a while, and that for a while, and this, you know, and so forth. But you know what? What does that do? Prepare them to serve him. And we need to be, you know, we might be playing quarterback. But they might take us off quarterback because they need somebody to be the running back. You got two people, and you know what? The quarterback, I got somebody who can play that quarterback, and he can do that. But there's a job here that you know, or you're on offense, and now you're on defense. You said, that's fine. You're good at both of them. I got somebody who can take care of this, but I need to have somebody who's going to do this. When Jed and I, we were down at the Open Door, we first really started trying to build the choir and the orchestra. The orchestra really was kind of a secondary thing when we first got there, and there was a lot of things we wanted to do, and Janet went to the Peabody Conservatory and graduated clarinet was her major instrument. But for early on in years, she played timpani. She played violin one year. There was a lot of times she played stuff that had nothing. She was the best clarinetist there. But we had somebody else who could carry the part. We had nobody who could do this. But she knows enough music, she could hop over here and do this, and then she could hop over here and do this, and she could hop. So even though she wasn't doing what she was trained to do, it was all said and done, to make the team work, you do what you got to do. And sometimes that's the way it is in the progress of the ministry. You may not be doing what you want to do, but I found that Jesus, the Lord says, if you're faithful a little, he'll make you ruler over much. You know, if you're faithful where he puts you, you'd be surprised. You may end up, you delight yourself all to the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. But if you're not willing to be faithful in little, why should he make you ruler over much? So the fact is, we have a place. Letter B, success. Watch it. I've used this term, but if you haven't heard, here it is. Success in life is having done the will of God for your life. That's what success is, having done what God has called you to do. God will, I think he'll even let you start late. So I'm kind of late, a little late for that. Well, start now. He has a will right now for you. Fill that part. Do it now. Do what you can. And you know what? The fact is, he said, well, I guess it was a sin that I didn't do all along. Yeah, but you confess your sins. He's faithful and just. Forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Let's forget about the past, Paul said, and press forward to the future, the high calling of God, what God has me to do now. Letter C, we need to fill our place. There's a progression. We need to fill our place. If we do not fill our place, who will? Will it be done as God intended it to be if I don't fill my place? Now, I don't want to spend a lot of time with this, but I'm going to read this for you. Romans 12:3, Brother Merle actually quoted the first two verses. Romans 12:3, if we've presented ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is a reasonable service, and prove what is his good and perfect, good and acceptable and perfect will of God, he says this in verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we are many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, and it goes on and lists a whole bunch of them. We don't have the same job, but we have a job. We're in the context of the plan, within the context of the progression. We have a place to serve. Now, that place may change as years go by. But listen, you say, well, I'll wait and start serving when I get to the one I want to do. It doesn't work that way. First Corinthians 12 says this. Now, there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit, same Holy Spirit. And there are differences of administrations. That's positions with the same Lord. And there are differences of operations. That's different jobs to do. But it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. As the Spirit shows up in your life, however he shows in your life, is for the profit of everybody. It's to make it all work. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles, the prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh one and the same self-Spirit, dividing to every man severally as his will. As his will. He has something for everybody to do. There's a place for everybody. You jump down to verse 25, says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Listen, if we could do it all, we wouldn't care about anybody else. He says, that's not the way it works. He wants us, now think of it, he wants us to need each other. It is okay for you to say, I need help in this area. Or this, I don't know everything. Because we don't. He says, here's how we hold each other together. We make it so you need each other. By the way, within a marriage, you should realize you need the other one. If you don't need the other one, then one of you is not necessary. You need each other. It's not good for a man to be alone. Well, you know what that means? If everything God does is good, if it's not good for a man to be alone, that means it's not good for the woman to be alone. We don't have to know it all. We're not supposed to know it all. We are supposed to rely on one another. Leave father and mother and cleave unto your wife. Hang on to her for dear life. It's okay to say, I don't know it all. I need you, honey. Letter D. At beginning number 5, it said, there's a place. That means there's a place for us to fill our place. Letter D, others have a place to serve God. This is interesting. Others have a place to serve God. We are not the only ones that serve God. Our ways of serving God may not be the only way to serve God. Let me say that again. Our ways of serving God may not be the only way to serve God. Number 3, watch. Sometimes, we're not careful, loyalty to a particular ministry, sometimes loyalty can cross a line into arrogance. If you don't do it our way, you're wrong. Well, wait a minute. You did it your way, and maybe that was exactly how you were supposed to do it at that place, at that time with those people. Now, maybe it's a good thing we can use someplace else too. Maybe not. If we're not careful, loyalty can get to the point where it becomes arrogance and we start becoming divisive. Now, letter E. There's no place for ministerial jealousy. There's no place for ministerial jealousy. Well, they got to teach this one, or they got called to do this, or they asked them to him to pray, but they never asked me to pray. And she gets to do all the solos, and I don't get to do anything. Now, watch what happened here. John's disciples complain about Jesus and his disciples. I got the passage there. I think I left it in front of you. John 3:26. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, which is the same term they used to call Jesus, wasn't it? So right now at this point, John is equal in their eyes to Christ. Rabbi means he that is abundantly qualified to lead us. Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, he was with you. You weren't with him. He was with you. To whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizer, and all men come to him. And John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except be given him from heaven. He got what he's got from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I'm not the Christ, but that I'm sent before him. And he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. For this my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. I just get a kick out of people going to Jesus. See, they had forgotten the person. There's a person, and the person is Jesus, and the purpose, they had forgotten their purpose, was to lift up Jesus. They'd forgotten the person that they were supposed to be lifting up, and they had forgotten that God has a plan. And they had forgotten that what their purpose was in the context of the plan. And they had forgotten that their purpose was part of a progression within the context of that plan. And so they're upset. It's not the same. Do you realize our lives are just a blip on the screen? Man, we think all of history revolves around us right now. All of history revolves around AD 1. That's why we're coming to 2019. Now, the year is not quite kosher, apparently. The usher, I think, miscalculated. But the whole point was he was trying to put it in around Jesus. I don't know if you got letter G there or not. The disciples of Jesus, watch this. The disciples of Jesus complain about the other followers. The disciples of John complain about the disciples of Jesus. Now the disciples of Jesus start complaining. In Mark 9:33 it says this, and he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that ye disputed about amongst yourselves, by the way? But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. I don't want to tell them we've been fighting about who's the greatest. It's kind of embarrassing, And he sat down, verse 35, and called the 12 and said unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all. You try to be first, you try to put yourself up, it's not going to work. God's not going to let it happen. If you want to be first, be servant of all. If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them, and when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of these children in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. And John answered, this is John the Apostle, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us. And we forbade him because he followed not us. There we are. Exactly the same thing that John the Baptist's disciples were complaining about. Well, he's not running around with us. He's not allowed to do that, is he? We got a monopoly on truth. No, we want as many people as we can giving out truth. That's the whole idea. But Jesus said unto him, verse 39, forbid him not. There's no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Philippians 1:12 says this, but I would ye should understand, brethren, the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are, this is Paul speaking, are manifest in all the palace and in all places. He said, I'm kind of glad that some bad things happen because they actually been able to see Christ in me through the palace. And later on he says, the household of Caesar salute you. The household of the king, the heathen king. I got a bunch of them saved. And you know, if I hadn't been in this house under bonds, that would have never happened. Verse 13, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all the places, and many of the brethren of the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. But the other love, knowing that I am the set of the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therefore do rejoice. Yea, I will rejoice. What he's saying, you know what? I want the name of Christ lifted up. See, that's our purpose. Now, if it can be lifted up by me being put down and stuck in prison, unable to go out in public and preach to the great crowds, he says, that's okay. Because the purpose is to lift up the person of Jesus Christ. Now, of course, we're talking about those things. When they preach the unadulterated gospel. Galatians 1:8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now, we've got to have the gospel. It's not, you know, so I'm not talking about ecumenicalism where you've got all the roads that lead to heaven. I'm not talking about that. But I'll tell you what, I think sometimes we do more to shoot ourselves in the foot because someone's not quite like we are. Sometimes I think we're trying to defend God from the other servants. They were trying to defend John from the disciples of Jesus. We don't need to fight for God. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Our job is to put on the whole armor of God and having done all to stand and represent Christ. That's our job. Now, summary, we'll be all done. Our theme this past year has been striving together for the faith of the gospel. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. This is one person. There's one person that's supposed to be lifted up, and that's Jesus. And our purpose is to lift up the person of Jesus Christ. And God has a plan for us on how that is to be done. And some of it we know because it is a purpose for all men. But some things are going to be specific for each of us as individuals as we are part of the plan. Within God's plan is a progression. And sometimes we're prominent in the progression and sometimes we're kind of passe. Sometimes God raises up and all of a sudden he uses us for something and there's a job we need to do and sometimes somebody else is supposed to be working. Why? So that we're all the body of Christ, realize we all need each other. Now watch me, last thing. So we have a place in God's plan, and so we need to fill our place in the progression of God's plan in order to fulfill the purpose of lifting up the person of Jesus Christ. Now, we must have the same mindset of striving together because God has placed us here in this position right now. And this is next year's theme, for such a time as this. we have a job to do right now. We can look back at all the things that God has done. That's fine and dandy. And we can look at all what we wish was going to happen or what may happen. That's all fine and dandy. You need some vision. But we are here right now for such a time as this. I think there's a window of opportunity that we may have. We may only have about 2 years left. I don't know what might happen. When I say 2 years left, I'm talking about the extra wide window of opportunity in our particular country here. But we're here right now. And we have a purpose. God has a plan. He has a progression. And there's a place for us. And we need to fill that place. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for these dear folks. This is an important message, and I hope others will go back online and hear this and realize that they have a place in all of this. Lord, help us to stand where we need to stand. Remember that the one we need to lift up is Jesus. Not to let personality and position, all those things, get in the way. Not our person, but the person of Jesus Christ, the light of the world. May he be the one that all the world sees. Thank you for speaking to our hearts, and Lord, move us. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to sing a verse or two.